Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashramas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 389, as stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, quote, "The purport is that one can realize life's perfections simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead." End quote. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atapumbir dvija shreshta varna shrama vibhagasha svas anustisthasya dharmasya samsidir harir toshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Personality of Godhead. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his abilities, one should accept the position in the Varnashrama institution. The divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra are natural divisions within society. Indeed, everyone has a prescribed duty according to the Varnashrama Dharma. Those who properly execute their prescribed duties live peacefully and are not disturbed by material conditions. The spiritual orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are called ashramas. If one executes his prescribed duty in both the social and spiritual orders, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. If one neglects his duties, however, one becomes a transgressor and a candidate for a hellish condition. Actually, we see that different people are engaged in different ways. Therefore, there must be divisions according to work, association, and education. One should accept the Varnashrama divisions by qualification, not by birth. Unless this system is introduced, human activities cannot be systematically executed. And then the last paragraph here, Prabhupada says, "The Brahmanas are the intellectuals who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always engaged in cultivation of knowledge. It does not matter whether one is born in India or outside India. Those who are naturally very heroic and who tend to rule over others are called Kshatriyas. Those who tend to produce food by agricultural methods, protect cows and other animals, and engaged in trade are called, thank you, Vaishyas, or merchants. Those who are not sufficiently intelligent to be the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas are required to serve a master and are called Sudras." Yes. "Thus, everyone can engage in the service of the Lord and awaken his natural Krishna consciousness. If a society does not function according to such natural divisions, the social orders become degraded. The conclusion is that the scientific method of Varnashrama Dharma should be adopted by society." Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. This verse is being cited by Rai Ramananda on the bank of the Godavari, where he and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have met. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked him, "Cite some verse about sadhya." Sadhya means the goal. What is the goal of life? Cite some verse from Shastra describing the goal of life. And this is Rai Ramananda's response. he cited this verse from the Vishnu Purana. Varna shramachara vata purushena para puman Vishnur aradyate panta nanyatat toshakaranam. By proper execution of varna and ashrama dharma, then the Supreme Lord can be satisfied. He is worshipped. Aradyate. The Lord is worshipped and he is toshanam. He's pleased. He's satisfied. This verse is also cited by Srila Prabhupada in another conversation. So we are discussing the conversation between Sri Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. There's another conversation that I would like to bring your attention to between Srila Prabhupada and one, also a scholar, not a Vaishnava scholar, a Professor Katovsky in Moscow, July 1971, Prabhupada visited Moscow, and in the course of their conversation, Prabhupada cited this verse. And so today I would like to discuss some of the points, three points actually, from this purport, which also appear in that conversation. At the Academy of Science, the USSR Academy of Science in Moscow, Department of Indology, which Professor Katovsky was the head of. Three points. One is that Varnashrama Dharma is natural and it is ubiquitous. That is, it is present everywhere. Natural divisions of society. Second point will be that the Varnashrama Dharma can be executed as a spiritual duty. And the third point will be Varnashrama Dharma can be executed to give Krishna pleasure. And bringing Krishna pleasure is the highest principle. So three points. Varnashrama Dharma is natural and present everywhere. It can be executed as a spiritual duty and it can be pleasing to Krishna. So let's begin then with our first point. Prabhupada has come to see Professor Katovsky because he sees it as an opportunity, a one-shot opportunity to bring Krishna consciousness to the USSR. It is a large part of the world, but it is behind an iron curtain, and so it wasn't possible for Prabhupada to send disciples there to preach. But one devotee had opened up conversation, correspondence exchange from Germany, devotee Krishnadas. He made contact with an Indologist in Germany and said, can you give me some contacts for Indologists in the Soviet Union? And so he wrote, and Professor Katovsky, he replied. So they entered into an exchange, and then Katovsky was introduced to Prabhupada. And so for about a year, they had been exchanging communication via letters, and now they were meeting. Prabhupada had hoped that he would be able to speak as well to the other professors. That was what they had agreed. But when he arrived at the Academy of Science with Shamasundar Prabhu, Professor Katovsky was a little bit cold initially. Something had changed. He looked a little afraid, actually. And he said, you won't be able to speak, but you can come into my office. We'll have a little conversation, but you won't be able to give a lecture. The Prabhupada was a little disappointed, but then, you know, he seized the moment. So he went into the office with Professor Katovsky. And so what do you say? This is your one shot. Prabhujis, Mataji's, we're preachers in Prabhupada's mission. You have a one shot here. Your one contact with somebody behind the iron curtain to present Krishna consciousness. Where do you start? Considering that it's committed to atheism, communism was committed to atheism, so maybe that could be a starting point. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada starts with, I was reading the other day in the newspaper, the Moscow News, that there was a symposium And the leaders, they were saying, we would like some ideas how to improve communism. That's where Prabhupada started. He's trying to find common ground so that there will be some interest. And so Prabhupada said, I was thinking that the Vedic social system can be of interest to improving the communist system. And he quoted this verse. Varnashrama taravata purushena parapuman. There are four divisions of society. And these are natural divisions of society. Katovsky, he says, oh yes, there is interest in Vedic ideas here in Russia. We have published Ramayana and Mahabharata and Upanishads and Puranas. We like these Hindu texts. Prabhupada said, Varnashrama Dharma. He said, Hindu, that is a complex idea, but Varnashrama Dharma. That is what, that is the, and Kotovsky says, yes, it's a way of life. Oh, yes. So four divisions of society, four Varnas and four Ashramas. And then Kotovsky, he says, but this is difficult. Maybe in Western societies you can map this. Okay, there are the intellectuals, there are the brahmanas. He knows his Indology, so he's been to India many times. 7 times, I think he tells Prabhupada. There are your brahmanas, intellectuals, teachers. There are your kshatriyas, the rulers. And there are your vaishyas, the merchants. And then there are your workers, the sudras. But he says, but that doesn't apply here. Because everyone is a worker. Classless state. And Prabhupada says, you are an intellectual. You are an intelligent class. And he says, oh yes. Oh yeah, okay. and then he says, oh yeah, and we also have the rulers and then the workers, but we don't have the merchants. We don't have the vaishyas. And Prabhupada says, but it is natural, like the body. So he gives the analogy of the social body. We have the head. Brahmanosya mukamasid bahurajanyakritaha. We have the arms, that is the kshatriyas, the raja, or bahu. They are the arms that protect. Uru tadasya yadaveshaha. Then there are the vaishyas that are uru, means thigh, Prabhupada says waist. Or the belly. The vaishyas, they generate food that society can eat. And then padbyogam sudraha. Then there are the sudras that are the legs of society. He says you need to have them all. You need to have intellectuals who can give guidance. You need to have kshatriyas who can administer. You need vaishyas who can provide food. And then the workers who will provide labor. So I'm going to pause here and just think in terms of our own application of Varnashrama Dharma. It gets discussed a lot in ISKCON and somehow presented as a great mystery. Something very complex. You have to live off the grid, grow your own food, and that's how you do Varnashrama. Prabhupada here is presenting Varnashrama as ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Every society has it, whether you acknowledge it or not. There are intellectuals, there are rulers, there are entrepreneurs, and there are workers. It's just there. It's ubiquitous. It's present everywhere. So not complex necessarily, not a mystery. Something that is just natural as these different limbs of the body. And so society also will naturally have these different sections, whether or not they are acknowledged. Let's go then to our second point, or Prabhupada's second point, that Varnashrama Dharma can be practiced as a spiritual duty. Is Prabhupada really interested in teaching Varnashrama? Is that his main purpose? No, most of you say no. Some of you are kind of like, well, maybe. It's the International Society for Krishna consciousness, right? He's using Varnashrama here. He's speaking to a communist. Communists are interested in the organization of society. He's an Indologist as well. He's found some common ground. This is the way in India, in the Vedic teachings, society is organized. Let's begin with that as a starting point. He's compared it to the body, but then he comes with his next point. What is the body without the soul? What is the body without life? Prabhupada's going somewhere here, somewhere where he wants to steer this conversation. What is the body without the soul? He's waiting for Kotovsky to answer. He says the body is dead. A dead body without the spirit soul. Without the presence of the soul, then the body is dead. And he says, unfortunate, and similarly, society without spiritual consciousness or without the endeavor to cultivate higher spiritual consciousness, it is like a dead body. It doesn't have purpose. It doesn't have vibrancy. It doesn't have good direction. Prabhupada's taking his conversation to now to what he really wants to talk about, transcendence and spirituality. So Varnashrama Dharma, Varnashrama, without a focus on cultivating spiritual consciousness, sometimes it's referred to as Asura Varnashram. Jarasandha, he was also ruling as a Kshatriya. He had Varnashrama in his kingdom. Hiranyakashipu, he had Varnashrama in his kingdom. But the Varnashrama of Yudhisthira Maharaj, that was something great, because society was organized to elevate consciousness, to recognize Krishna, to serve Krishna. Arjuna, he is being encouraged. Engage in your duty as a Kshatriya, but do it as service. Don't just fight because you're a Kshatriya, but fight with purpose. And that purpose is a sense of duty to Dharma. And so without these principles, then the body is dead, society is dead as well. In terms of practical application for us, Kotovsky, he asks at one point, so how many temples do you have? Prabhupada says 65. This is 1971. 65 temples and 3,000 members. In each temple, we have between 25 and 100 members, total 3,000. Our disciples, they're following four principles and they're chanting Maha Mantra. They're chanting Hare Krishna. If you also want to become a disciple, a student, you will also chant the Maha Mantra and follow four principles. You can become. Those who are living in the temples, they are brahmanas. But then others, they also have their occupations. We also have some professors. There are disciples. There are devotees. Professor Howard Wheeler. So, Hayagriva Prabhu. Professor Howard Wheeler. He is a devotee. And so, whether you live in the temple as a brahmana, otherwise with your occupation. There are brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras. Those are the occupations. And then the ashrams. So if you're living in your house, that is grihastha. You can live as a grihastha. I am a sannyasi. Prabhupada's laying out the program here for Professor Kotovsky to get on board and join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If he wishes, he's shown some interest. How many temples do you have? Okay, here's an entry point here. But he's also showing us how we can implement Varnashrama Dharma as well. Recognize there's opportunity for people in all sectors to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Situate yourself as you need to situate yourself. Let it be a position of stability in which you can then do what's most important, elevate your consciousness towards Krishna consciousness. So let's go to our third point then, and that is Krishna's pleasure. The last line of this verse says, Nanyat tat tosha karanam. This Varnashram, or the line before, Vishnu aradyate, you can worship Krishna in this way, and you can satisfy Krishna if you dedicate what you do as an offering unto him. Krishna teaches Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, do what you do for me, mamanu smara yudhyacha, you fight remembering me, do it, it's your duty as a kshatriya. But then very interestingly, at the very end, 1866, most famously, he says, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam, abandon all dharma, varna dharma, give it up, it's not important, ashrama dharma, not important, what is most important is mam ekam sharanam, surrender to me. Surrender to me, that is the highest dharma. And so, as Prabhupada has quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the very beginning of his purport, he says, as stated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, the purport is that one can realize one's perfection simply by satisfying the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead. That's the real point. Situate yourself as you can in a varna, in an ashram. Be stable. But the most important thing is that you'll be cultivating Krishna consciousness. Mam ekam sharanam, that we surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada, he turns to Professor Katovsky and he says, you and I, we agree that you have to surrender. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Prabhupada concludes his conversation with Professor Katovsky saying, you and I, we agree. I think we can agree. You have to surrender. Everyone has to surrender. So in the morning, in the mornings when Prabhupada was there in Moscow for those days, he'd been doing his japa through the Red Square and he'd seen Lenin's tomb and people from early morning, they're queuing up to see Lenin's tomb. So Prabhupada said to Katovsky, the communist surrenders to Lenin. And the devotee surrenders to Krishna. But the principle is surrender. It has to be there. It's natural to us. Can't you agree? And Katovsky says, I agree. He says, we can surrender, but not just to a man. If it's surrender like to some king or ruler like that, there should be a revolution. Or just some elite class, there will be a revolution. Until we come to the point of we surrender to the society as a whole. And Prabhupada says, oh no, then there's still revolution. The end point, the full stop is surrender to Krishna. Once you surrender to Krishna, then you will be satisfied. So Prabhupada works with him on this idea of revolution. There will always be change. There will always be political change until we come to the point of surrender to Krishna. He says, once you reach that, then you are at the end point. You'll be satisfied. You don't need more revolution. You don't need more disturbance. You'll be in a place of shelter, sharanam, taking shelter of Krishna. And so this is the essence, the purpose of varnashram, to lead us to this point of surrender to Krishna. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's going to respond to Ramananda Rai. He's going to say, eta bahya, this is external. Okay, but it's external. Go further. We're reading chapter 5 of the Madhya Lila in chapter 8 of the Madhya Lila. In chapter 9, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's going to meet the Acharya at Udupi. That is the mutt of Madhva Acharya. And he's going to ask him the same question that he asks Ramananda Rai. What is sadhya? What is the goal? And he'll ask another, what is sadhana? What is the process to achieve the goal? And the Acharya, he will reply, Varnashrama Dharma. That is the sadhana. And mukti, five types of mukti are there. That is the goal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reject it. He'll say, this is not a Vaishnava response. For us, our sadhana is bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. He quotes Prahlad Maharaj. Navanga bhakti, nine processes of bhakti. That's our sadhana. Or Lord Chaitanya summarizes it in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. Service to Vaishnavas, hearing, chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, service to the deities, service to the Dham. These five practices, he says, you practice this sadhana, any one of these will give you prema. Prema is the goal. And that's his second point to the Tattvavadi Acharya. You say mukti is the goal, not for a Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, the goal is love for Krishna. And he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva, who says, Narayana para sarve naku tashtana bibhati svarga pavarga narake apituliyata darshanam. The devotee of Narayana is satisfied anywhere. Whether they are in heaven, whether they are in hell, they are satisfied because they are always having darshan of Narayana. They are always having darshan of Krishna. They are always feeling Krishna's presence and protection because they are surrendered to Krishna. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this conversation then with the Tattvavadi Acharya, after being with Ramananda Rai, next stop, almost, Udupi, and he has this conversation and he establishes these principles. Our goal is love for Krishna. Our process is not Varnashrama Dharma, it is bhakti. So Varnashrama Dharma, it might be a platform, it is a platform in which bhakti can be practiced, but bhakti is not dependent on Varnashrama Dharma. As I said, there can be Asura Varnashram as well, Charasandha, Shishupal, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. But it's a good system. It's a good system, but it's still in the material sphere. It could be cultivated for as a karma, as a desire for material rewards. It could be cultivated as a way to get mukti as well. That's where the Tattvavadi Acharya went. Even though he's describing Vaishnava muktis, Samipya, Sharsti, Salokya, Sarupya, being close to Krishna, having a form similar to Krishna, having opulences like Krishna, having a form like Krishna. These are Vaishnava types of liberation, but it's not the goal, Lord Chaitanya is saying. The goal is love. Hence, he rejects the Tattvavadi's response and he establishes these sublime teachings of bhakti and prema. Bhakti, our sadhana, prema, our goal. Varnashrama can help, but bhakti is not dependent on Varnashrama Dharma. Bhakti is fully independent. And Krishna, he demonstrates this in the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, where he tells Uddhava Prabhu, he says, my devotees, they appear in every millennium, and they appear in all species and situations. He says, I have devotees among the demons, like Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. He actually lists them. He identifies. And Banasura, he also counts him as well as a devotee. I have devotees among the butchers. Dharma was a butcher. He says he was my devotee. I have devotees among the animals, like who? Gajendra is the example that he gives. I have devotees among the birds, like Jatayu, Garuda, yeah, sure. I have devotees among the trees and creepers. Tulsi, he says, the trees and creepers in Vrindavan. I have devotees, he describes his devotees among all different varieties of situations. In Varnashrama, out of Varnashrama, I have devotees who are sons of Sudras like Vidura. I have devotees who are Kshatriyas like the Pandavas. I have devotees who are like this. Krishna is saying that his devotees are found everywhere. Because bhakti is independent of this Varnashrama Dharma. That's the highest principle. Cultivating bhakti, cultivating love for Krishna. So today we have been discussing Rai Ramananda Samvad. His first response to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to prod him to give other responses and go to the highest levels of bhakti, describing the love for Krishna that is embodied in Srimati Radharani as the highest pinnacle of love and devotion, the personification of love and devotion. So we've been discussing this conversation, but to understand this conversation of Ramananda Rai and this first response, we've been discussing Prabhupada's conversation with Professor Kotovsky in Moscow, USSR, 1971. Specifically, we've discussed 3 points. One is that Varnashrama Dharma is natural and ubiquitous. It is there in every society. Prabhupada comparing it to the body. It is the social body. His second point, that Varnashrama Dharma can be practiced as a spiritual duty. And that is a higher principle. When we follow Varnashrama Dharma principles according to the directives of Shastra, and with the idea of elevating consciousness as a duty, as a service that we perform, that is a higher level. And Prabhupada compares that to the soul within the body that gives life to the body. And the third point is that the purpose of it must not be lost. The purpose of Varnashrama Dharma, given here in the Vishnu Purana, is we can use it to elevate consciousness for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna's pleasure is the higher principle. If Varnashrama Dharma gets in the way of that, well, we're ready to let it go because bhakti is independent. But if it can be helpful for that, then yeah, we use all the tools that are available to us. So I'll conclude there. Any comments or questions? Reflections? Okay, yeah, great. I see a few hands, so I'm going to go to the corner.
Thank you, Prabhu. John?
John.
Yeah. So I was just wondering one thing. Although Varnashrama Dharma actually is not organized in our society, but it's natural. We already have people who act in according to the Varna, you know, administrators, brahmanas, generators of income, whatever, organizers. But I'm just wondering, this is just a base for propagating Krishna consciousness. It's not organized, it's present, but then Prabhupada wanted to establish that base. He actually was disappointed that even that base is not established. I'm just wondering in which way Prabhupada wanted actually this society to be organized. It's just kind of very vague. It's existing, we already acting upon, but then Prabhupada wanted to organize. We always starting point of farms, and this is not Varnashrama, it's just maybe a good base to develop entire Varnashrama with all Varnas. So I'm just wondering, this is kind of clarifying.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So the question, just in case not everyone heard, was Varnashrama is natural, it's there in every society, but it can be organized. And he's, Prabhuji, saying that Prabhupada wanted to organize Varnashrama Dharma. In which way can we do that? Will we do it with farms or some other way of organizing? Good question. And I think if we look at the context to 1971, just as an example, Prabhupada says we have 65 temples, we have 3,000 devotees, and they're all brahmanas because they all live in the temple. That's how Prabhupada's understanding, or at least in that conversation, that's how he's describing it. But then, as a society expands, not everyone's living in temples, not all are serving as brahmanas, they're fulfilling so many occupations. So I think in that way we can say Prabhupada's vision has been manifest. We're not 3,000 members anymore. We are, even in London, I don't know how many members, but thousands of devotees are there in all occupations. And so we see how Varnashram has been manifest in this way by Prabhupada's will. We have wonderful Vaishnavas living in temples, giving spiritual example and inspiration and direction. And then we have around the temples so many people in all occupations making an effort to situate themselves where their mind is peaceful, that they can cultivate bhakti and gradually awaken pure love for Krishna. So I think it's a very natural thing that is manifest by Prabhupada's will. If it can happen on farms as well, yeah, sure, another expression of that. But otherwise, I see it naturally happening in our communities. Okay, thank you.
In terms of organization for preaching to general mass of people, so in that way, we have to have some kind of really established, organized, structured,
Yeah, maybe at some point someone will. But in the meantime, I think we have a very natural organization or manifestation of that in our communities. That's what I can offer at this stage, yeah. So next question, Prabhuji. No, you'll be third. Yeah, I'll come to you in a minute. Please.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Prabhupada said those who are in the temple doing services, Varnashram doesn't apply to them, those who are following.
So right.
How is that?
Yeah, okay, good. So the Vaishnava transcends the Varna and Ashrama considerations. That was our third point. Krishna's pleasure is the highest principle. And so Vaishnava may be within any of the Varnas and Ashrams, at the same time transcends them as well. So whether Sudra or working as a Sudra, whether working as a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmana, the lifestyle is Vaishnava. And so our lifestyle is that we are waking up, we're taking bath, we're chanting japa, we're serving the deity, we're making some offering, we're eating prasad. That's Vaishnava. Whether we, whatever Varna or Ashram we are, that Vaishnava principle is there, that Vaishnava culture is there for all of us, and it transcends Varna and Ashrama Dharma. It would be closest to a Brahminical lifestyle, but then it is even higher because it's fully dedicated to Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah, how do you find out what is your Varna?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good. So the question was, how do we understand what our Varna is? What is our nature? It's a good question. In modern society, there's a lot of confusion. People find it difficult to understand what their Varna Dharma is, what their inclination is. In previous times, you were born into a family in a small village. Your father was a carpenter, your grandfather was, your great-grandfather was. And basically, 99.9% you're going to take up the same occupation. And so people have clarity. I'm a tailor, I'm a carpenter, I'm a baker, or whatever it is. You're born into an occupation, you live that occupation. Today, everything's fluid. Is my body Australian or New Zealand, or my wife says I'm part Indian as well. What is this body that I have? What is its inclination? There's all of this fluidity and confusion around occupation, even gender, ethnicity. Everything gets mixed. Everything is Shankara, which Arjuna says would happen. When Adharma Bhavat Krishna Pradusyanti Kulastriya Stristu Darshu Varshneya Jayate Varna Shankara. When Adharma is prominent in society, the result will be mixed Varnas, And we will be confused, and that is our position. So it is a good question that you ask. How do we know? Sometimes it could take some time as we understand this teaching and we reflect on it and we maybe also take counsel for others. We see from others, we see how we respond or react in different situations. We see how we earn our livelihood. These things can give us some inclination, whether we are, our personality is that of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. It's more difficult for us in our time. And we might find, mixed inclinations as well.
Thank you. Just one last thing. Because often it may change, like someone, two things, like with ashram, people also may change ashram, and or they may be, say, they be married, and then it just gets completely ruined. It happens again and again.
Yes.
Or people aren't married, but then they don't fit into the Brahmacharya or Brahmacharini ashram as well.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of... These cases, I find.
Yeah, good points. Very good points. And so luckily, bhakti is independent. Luckily, bhakti is not dependent on being perfect in your varna and ashram. If it was, we would be in trouble. But it's not. Krishna is saying, my devotees appear in all different situations. Animals, trees, birds, men, women, vaishyas, butchers, my devotees are everywhere. Yeah? Luckily for us, that's the case. Again, varnashram can be a helpful tool. Situate yourself well, understand your inclination, and then have some peace and stability to practice bhakti. But with our situation as Varna Shankara, it's difficult. And so, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's raising his arms at the Rath Yatra, and he says, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi. What is the Buddha City mantra? Loudly, yeah. I am not a Brahmana. I am not a sannyasi. I am not a sudra. I am not a Vaishnava. Who am I? Gopir Bhatur Parakamalayur Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am a servant of the servant of the servant of that Lord whose lotus feet are worshipped by the gopis. That gives us hope, right? All right, I think we are, you got the last word, and then I think we're at time. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just in response to the first question about how it is that Varnashram should be more organized, just had a few points on that. I think that's a huge thing. Prabhupada wanted it. I think the first thing is that Mangala Hari was saying, the first thing is that most devotees haven't found their Varnashram Dharma, actually. And so you need an organized system, like he was mentioning, that in order for devotees to find their Dharma, and also a culture within the society whereby one is then inspired to live their Dharma, because often we, even when we know what our Dharma is, we end up doing something else because it will be more valued.
Emergency service. Yeah.
So I think that's the first part of organizing Varnashram. I think the second part is Prabhupada talked about Varnashram College. So it's like, even once you know you're a Kshatriya or you're a Vaishya, you actually need to be trained in that. It's not just like, oh, okay, I'm a Vaishya, therefore I go out and collect. That's not the totality of what it means to be a Vaishya. There's so many other things. So then it requires huge amounts of Varna and Ashram training. I think the third thing is that how the varnas and the ashrams then integrate with each other and communicate and coexist to kind of synergize. You may be in a community where people know what their dharma is, but are they working together? That's a whole different thing. So that needs to be organized. And then the final thing I think you mentioned, like how to use your varna and your ashram to actually develop love for Krishna, that also needs a lot of attention. So I think on these four points, you can see why Prabhupada wanted Varanashram organized. Although something may happen spontaneously, it's a huge project.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that reflection. Let's conclude here then. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.